Turn with me, Colossians chapter 4. We are going through Paul's letter to Colossians. We are at the end of this epistle. You traveled with me for 2 years and 6 months to study this epistle. So, do you know what is the theme of this epistle? Christ is supreme, therefore He is sufficient for all things. So I want to remind you that there is false teaching in Colossian church. Paul wants to protect this church. Epaphras, who is pastor of this church, he traveled to Rome to inform Paul and get some guidelines from Paul. So that was the background of this epistle. So after writing Paul this letter, end of this letter, he is going to speak with the church that it is some kind of duties that Paul wants to tell the church. Essential qualities of Christ's disciples that we are going to see today passage, end of this epistle. We can read Colossians chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha, and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Verse 18, I, Paul, write these greetings with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. You remember, Paul was writing this epistle from Roman imprisonment. So he is writing, he is asking the church, remember my imprisonment. And he is asking, he is blessing the church through God's grace. He said, grace be with you. If you see this passage, we can see a couple of men in this passage. Luke, Demas, Nympha, and also you can see Paul himself in verse 18. Not only this man, there is a church in Laodicea and also a church in Colossae. So after studying this passage and looking at these phrases, the theme of this passage, essential qualities of Christ's disciples. Essential qualities of Christ's disciples. It is very clear that Paul is saying, verse 15, greet the brethren. You need to greet the brethren. And also verse 16, he says, this letter is read among you. Then he is saying, verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. Then he is speaking with the church, remember my imprisonment. So you can see essential qualities of the church. Disciples of Christ. Three essential qualities of a disciple of Christ. The first essential quality of disciple of Christ is respecting other disciples of Christ. If you are being a disciple of Christ, you need to respect, honor other disciples of Christ. That is the main idea in verse 14 to 15. Can you see that Paul is saying, Luke and Demas greeting you. And verse 15, he is saying, greet the brethren. So this is your responsibility to greet other disciples of Christ. Luke and Demas greeting you. You also greet church in Laodicea. Can you see that? So this is first essential quality of a disciple of Christ. Three kinds of Christ disciples that we need to respect. The first kind of Christ's disciple that we need to respect is fellow ministers of Christ. Fellow ministers of Christ. If you see, Paul is mentioning about Luke and Demas. They both are greeting to you, but you need to remember these men, Luke and Demas. Greeting means to respect, to wish well for others. It refers to loving and honoring fellow brothers and sisters and recognizing them, they were Christ's disciples. We need to know who is Luke. Who is Luke? We need to understand he is a Gentile Christian. He was a Greek Gentile, the only one who contributed to the New Testament as Gentile. Do you know who wrote the Bible, especially New Testament? All are Jews. Only one Gentile wrote letter, God's word, that is Luke. He got that privilege. How do you know that Luke is Gentile believer? If you see Colossians chapter 4, verse 10 to 14, Paul lists three fellow workers who are of circumcision. And he includes Luke's name with two Gentiles. Historians suggest that Luke was a Greek physician, a doctor to a Roman family. At some point, was set free and given Roman citizenship. Luke was from Syrian Antioch. So this is his background. Who he is? He is a Gentile Christian who followed Jesus Christ. I think most of us came from Gentiles, right? We are Gentiles. By God's grace, God is saving even from Gentiles. He is not a savior of Jewish people. He is a savior of even Gentiles. He is savior of all, right? If you think about who Jesus is, he is a savior of everyone. Anyone who trusts in him, he can save them. Not only he is a Gentile Christian, he is also a co-worker of Paul. Philemon chapter 1 verse 24, it says, as to Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. He is working with Paul. He is not working independently. He is working with Paul. So that is the lesson we can learn from Luke. Right? He doesn't want to work by himself independently. He is working with others. So we need to cultivate, brothers and sisters, we need to work with others in the church. Not only that, he is a co-worker of Paul. He is a beloved doctor. He is a beloved. I think he used to give medicine to Paul. When he was being beaten by others and when he is going through sickness, maybe Luke was helping him to come out of that sickness so that Paul can serve. He is a beloved physician. So don't think that to follow Jesus Christ, you need to leave your job. So no need to leave your job. You can be a doctor, you can be an engineer, you can be a good CEO, but you can be a good servant of Christ. You can be a disciple of Christ. So that is the lesson we can learn from even Luke. Not only that, he is a beloved doctor. He is a faithful minister. He does not leave middle of his ministry. That's what we see. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11. It says, only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark. Paul wrote 2 Timothy, end of his life, right? So end of his life, Luke was with Paul. He is a faithful minister. He is a faithful minister. Not only he is a faithful minister, he is the author of the scripture. As I said before, the gospel according to Luke and Acts, he wrote it. He contributed to the Bible very much. Luke is the longest book in the New Testament. The combined books of Luke and Acts established 28% of New Testament. 28% of New Testament. He wrote 2,138 verses. You know, Paul wrote only 2,033 verses. So he contributed more to the New Testament. He is not like a simple man. God used him very much, very much. Even though he is from Gentile background. Tradition says that he remained unmarried. Don't do that. It is not for everybody. He is remained as unmarried and childless, died at age of 84. He was serving the Lord until he dies. This is Luke. This Luke is greeting this church. When you understand who this Luke is, you need to imitate this man. When you are facing false teaching, this Luke, he did not give up. So you don't give up. Please follow Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the King. Many people, many ministers serving him. One of them is Luke. Who is Demas? We need to understand Demas is a fellow worker of Paul as well as Luke. Even Philemon chapter 1 verse 24, he adds Demas as well. The one more thing, he loves the church. Can you see Colossians chapter 4 verse 14? He greets the church. He respects the church. He honors the church. He is respecting, loving, sharing his love towards church in Colossae. But one more sad thing in his life, he grew to love the world. If you see 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. He was faithful. He started well. But what happened in his life, when he is going through hardship, when Paul was in imprisonment, when Paul was going to die after 10 days, I don't know when he is going to die, but he came to know that maybe he is afraid of suffering. And Paul mentions very clearly, having loved this present world. The idea is, he's a believer, he's a minister, but he loved the luxuries that is in Thessalonica. So he traveled there. He gone to Thessalonica. So that shows he becomes an unfaithful man. He becomes unfaithful man. So we need to understand, in the church, we have fellow workers, right? Some men can be a strong man. Some men can be a weak man. But don't disrespect them. We need to love strong and weak. Demas, he is not unbeliever. He is not a wicked person. But he has some weakness in himself. But don't disrespect those who are weak in the church. That is the lesson that we need to learn from this passage. Don't respect one who is strong Christian, and don't disrespect one who is weak Christians in the church. But so often it happens, right, in the church. We only have fellowship with those who are strong. We always avoid those who are weak. Right? You agree with me? That is not right way to think about. You need to greet even fellow workers, even though they are strong and weak. The second kind of Christ's disciple that we need to respect is a sacrificial disciple of Christ. Fellow workers of Christ and also a sacrificial disciple of Christ. Look at verse 15 and 16. It says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. The idea is Colossians must begin to greet brethren who are in Laodicea. What happens, you know, generally we greet our church members, right? Hello, hi, I love you. Like that we greet. That's good. That greeting should be start from the church. But here we need to think universal church. Here Paul is reminding or commanding this church to greet the church which is in Laodicea. This is a command. This is not a momentary action, but it should happen again and again. Not like one time. Whenever you meet them, you need to greet them. You need to respect them. This command indicates the urgency of their actions. Don't greet these brethren who are in Laodicea whenever you want. Urgently you greet them. Urgently you share your love towards them, because we should have unity. Even though we are different church from different places, but we should have unity, because false teaching is there around that area, right? So we should have unity in the love, so that we can defend, we can protect ourselves from false teachings. That is the idea. That is the idea. You greet immediately. You share your loves towards them. Okay, let me ask you, who are these brethren? The grammar of text shows that who these brethren are. He is explaining connective thought. See, if you read in the Bible sometimes, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God and Father are same, right, in that phrase. And so brethren who are in Laodicea and Nympha, the church that is in her house, that means these brethren are church members of Laodicea. That is the Paul idea. But we need to focus on this dear sister, Nympha. You can name your daughter future Nympha, who is a godly woman, rich woman, because she gave her house to conduct church meetings. That means she is a rich woman, and also she is sacrificial woman. That's why I said the second person that we need to respect, we should greet the that person, that is Nympha, a sacrificial disciple of Christ, because she gave her house. It is not easy, right? If you invite one family to your house for to show hospitality, how much hard work you need to do. Yeah, do you agree with me? So like, no, sometimes I may come with my kids may do some little mess, then you need to clean. We can help, but no, so much work is there. If one family comes to our home, so much work we need to do. Washing dishes and cooking more and sweating more. But full church is coming to that church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Do you think how much hard work she is doing? She is a rich woman, godly woman, and also she is sacrificial. She sacrifices her time. She sacrifices her luxuries. She is open to the church. That's why we need to greet this kind of disciple of Christ. She's a sacrificial disciple of Christ. Some denominations, Christians, do not meet or come to other Christians' homes, attend their marriages. And some pastors are very strict, for they don't pray even in marriage of other peoples, like no denominations, Baptist and Brethren and Hebron. We don't love those people. We don't love those groups. It's like, no, we are dividing ourselves. There is no Baptist denomination, Brethren, Hebrons, nothing else in the Bible. We all are Christians. But there are some false teachers, false churches. That is different. I am talking about brethren. We need to greet them. One time I asked one pastor, "Pastor, can you pray in this meeting?" He said, "No, I don't pray." Because he is from Hebron Church. I'm not criticizing them, but he is from Hebron Church. They think most of the time that church is biblical church. Only church exists on the earth. Sometimes brethren churches also feel. But we should not have those kind of differentiation, right? That's what we are seeing. Greet the church, Nympha, who are from Laodicea. And also he says third kind, see, fellow believers in Christ. Fellow believers in Christ. Verse 15, right? The church that is in her house. So what Paul is saying here, not only greet Nympha, and also church that meets in her house. So what happens? No, friends of special people, friends of rich people, well-known people are many. Friends of poor people, common people are less. Do you agree? What happens? No, if somebody is there, rich person in that church, like Nympha, who is rich, who is offering, opening her home to the church, everyone is greeting Nympha only. No one is looking after other church members, common people in the church. No one knows about them. But what Paul is saying, not only greet Nympha, greet also brethren, church members in her house. That's why I am telling that sometimes we pay attention to only rich people in the church. Greet disciples of Christ in Goa, who go to other churches. When you meet them, Nothing wrong with that. Show love for them. Unless they committed to false teachings, you need to respect other church members in Goa. Don't think that only church exists in Goa, that is Cornerstone Community Church. There are other church members. You know them, you respect them, you greet them, but come to our church. Because they have some left-hand issues, doctrinal issues are there. But you need to think biblically that you need to respect all Christians in Goa. Not false teachers, huh? Don't meet them. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are false teachers in Goa, false churches in Goa. Don't meet them, don't greet them. But there are some Christians. Respect them. Great believers who are associated with our church and who lives in other church as well. Great disciple community church people. Great CCC in Pune church members. And greet other church members. If Telugu people comes here as new visitors, or Keralites comes, or Kannada people comes, you wish them, greet them. So this is not like, we have good culture, right? Whoever comes to our church, we will welcome them, right? Why we are doing that? Because they are sisters and brothers in Christ. Don't stop greeting brethren. That's what Paul is saying. Three kinds of disciples of Christ that we need to greet, that we have seen. Number one, fellow workers in Christ. Number two, a sacrificial disciple of Christ. Number three, fellow believers in Christ. Second essential quality of disciple of Christ is focusing on the glory of Christ. As a church, as a disciples of Christ, we should focus on Christ's glory. We should not focus on our opinions. We should not focus on our glory, but we should focus on Christ's glory. That's what Paul is saying, verse 16 to 17, when this letter is read among you. Then he is saying that to Archippus, take heed to the ministry you have received in the Lord. So there is a duty of the church. When they fulfill that duty, what happens? They can bring glory to Christ. Two key duties of the church that brings glory to Christ. The first key duty of the church that brings glory to Christ is exalting Christ's word. Exalting the word of God, word of Christ, to avoid heresy. Verse 16. Paul is saying, read. This letter should be read among you. Paul commands the church to read the letter. Our letter is read among them. The church should treat the word of Christ above all. Above all. Especially in times of heresy. The content of the letter exalts Christ, right? If somebody is reading Colossians, what happens? They can understand who Christ is. They can understand the supremacy of Christ and sufficiency of Christ. What happens result of that? They can follow Christ faithfully. They can defend against false teachers. That's why you need to read Word of God to avoid heresies. Two ways that we need to exalt Christ's word. First way is by reading it publicly. By reading it publicly. See the phrase, verse 16. When this letter is read among you. Paul is saying to the church, brothers and sisters, the letter must be read among you. Not one time, but regularly. That is the idea, Greek idea. He is not saying that let this letter be read among you. Once you read, send it to the church. He is not saying that. You need to read regularly, continually this letter so that you can feed your heart with the words of Christ. The word of Christ will be exalted when it is being read publicly and loudly. The idea is, Paul is not saying that somebody, everyone should read this epistle. The idea is passive tense. The passive idea is Colossians are not reading the letter, but someone is reading for the church loudly. So one person should stand in the church. He is reading loudly. Everyone is listening to him.
That is the idea. That's why, right, we read text before we preach. That's why we worship the Lord after reading the text. You know where these traditions are coming from? You are getting now? Why we read loudly in the church? Because it is commanded. It is mandatory reading the Bible publicly and loudly. When we do that, we can exalt Christ's word. Second way that we need to exalt Christ's word is by passing it on to others. By passing it on to others. Verse 16 part B. Have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. Look at the phrase, have it also read. This is a command, but not an option. The idea of this command in Greek is they should do something immediately so that church in Laodicea read this letter. They need to do something. The idea is sending this letter. Don't delay. Don't delay. It is talking about urgency of sending. Send urgently. Don't wait after 10 days. Whenever you receive this letter, read, then you send to other churches. Pass it on. It is not mentioned how, but we can guess. They should copy the letter and send it to other church. Like, no, whatever letter came, they need to write, copy the letter, keep one or two copies with them, send other copies to Laodicean church. That is the idea. Pass it on. What is the purpose of sending this letter? So that they can read this epistle, they can protect themselves from false teachers. False teachers. See, only word of Christ can protect us, right? From false ideas, false thinkings. And only the word of Christ can protect us from false teachers. That is the idea. Colossians, not only that, look at verse 16, part B, it says, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Colossians should pass on this letter to Laodiceans. Laodiceans should pass on another letter to Colossians. The letter to Colossians should be read publicly to everyone. The letter from Laodicea, he did not say you should read publicly, but you should read, everyone should read that letter. That means the letter from Laodicea is not inspired letter. It is a Paul's exhortation to that church. So every person should read those exhortations. But when he said letter from Colossians, he said read publicly. So Paul is saying somehow he gave some instructions. All letters from Paul are not inspired. Do you agree? There are some letters, inspired letters. Some letters are not inspired. You can see throughout Bible. So this letter that coming from Laodicea is not inspired letter. So you can read some things from that letter. The idea is finally, whatever it is, we need to exalt Christ's word by reading it, by passing it on. Brothers and sisters, do you have love for the word of Christ? Proof is you are listening to it. You are reading the Bible. Someone who is not reading the Bible, he is not exalting Christ's word. Are you reading the Bible for your spiritual growth? Or just you are listening to the word of God? Just you are passionate about only listening to the word of God. But are you reading the Bible in your life? If you are not reading Bible, that you are not loving Christ properly. You are not exalting Christ. Then you may have wrong thinkings. You may fall into the wrong theories. Because you are not reading the Bible. Just you are listening to man. Whatever they say, just you are listening and believing. You are not thinking properly through word of God. But you need to read. You need to read the scripture. Someone said, don't read the Bible, but let the Bible read through you. You got? So read, specifically read very carefully. Don't read that. Just know today I need to finish one chapter. Just you read, finish, and I have done my work, mom and dad. Don't do that like that. If you are not able to read two chapters, three chapters, read five verses, study deeply, understand the scripture,
go through very deeply. The second duty of the church that brings glory to Christ is encouraging Christ's minister to not give up. Encouraging Christ's minister to not give up. Look at verse 17. Says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. The church should urgently, again it is urgently, he's saying, you need to speak with Archippus urgently, immediately, that he should fulfill his ministry. He should fulfill his ministry. The stress is on urgency of the action. Paul is commanding the church, you need to speak Archippus urgently. There is an urgent work came. He has to do it. He has to do it. They should encourage him to take heed of the ministry. Probably, why Paul is saying like this? Probably he is like Timothy, who is timid. He is little bit shy. He has gift of Christ, but he is little bit shy. He does not dare to take over the ministry responsibility in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 to 7, you can see what Paul says to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Can you see that Paul is encouraging Archippus? Actually, this is the responsibility of the church. Church should encourage Archippus. Don't give up. Don't give up. You need to preach. You need to teach. That is the idea. Ministry refers to, it does not refer to normal service. It refers to preaching the word and teaching in the church and doing biblical counseling and doing other things. It's like no public ministry, public service. That is the idea. It is not talking about serving a meal. It is not talking about cleaning the floor. It is talking about preaching the word. So that is the ministry that is given to Archippus. Archippus. It is a command. The church should tell immediately Archippus that he must begin and continue to do the ministry in local church. The time has come. Sometimes what happens, no? See, Pastor Sammy is there. I am here. Uncle is there. If no one is there, who is next? Who is going to preach? One day, three of us sick. Just I am probably, I am saying, no? We are on the bed. We are suffering with sick. Who is there? So somebody is there in the church who is gifted from the Lord. So that person has to take action. It is not for everybody in this church. It is for individual person who is gifted from Christ. How we know? It comes on the way. The two things that a minister must know. The reason the Lord gave it. He must know the reason the Lord gave it. Verse 17, which you have received in the Lord. Archippus received the ministry responsibility in the Lord. The Lord appointed him to do the ministry. Paul acknowledged it. Even the church knows it. Because of his part-time preaching, because of his part-time Bible study, taking Bible study, how he counseled the people, how he prayed for the people. When church is recognizing Archippus, he has gift of preaching and teaching. So they came to know that. Even Paul acknowledged it. Maybe Epaphras gave some information about Archippus to Paul. Paul is telling Epaphras, pastor of that church, is in Rome. So Archippus has to take over that ministry. He has to preach the word of God. But he has little bit timidity or shy. The church has to encourage that person. You, Archippus, you need to preach to us. Don't sit with us. God gave you that gift. God has selected you to be a pastor. Go and preach to us. That is not our job. That is your job. Go and preach. Like that, they need to encourage. They need to encourage. What happens, no, sometimes, not this church particularly, if any person who is willing to preach and teach, even pastors will, what they do? They won't allow to preach them. In churches in India, and churches in US, other places, what happens, no, they won't train other men to be pastors. But Paul is saying very differently. See, everyone is very unique, right? Ministers are needed in the church. So the Lord gave it, please do it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. So the Lord is the one who appoints pastors and elders in the church. So please remember, think about Lord gave you, so you need to do that ministry. The second thing that minister must do is remember the goal. Why he should take over the ministry? Because to fulfill, to complete it, verse 17, that you may fulfill it. That refers to why should he see, why he should take heed to the ministry, the goal of doing ministry. The meaning of the word fulfill is to carry through to the end, to accomplish. He must take heed to the ministry in order to carry through the ministry to the end. He has to accomplish that ministry. Archippus, you need to accomplish, you need to fulfill that ministry. This is talking about regular action. He must fulfill his ministry regularly. Whatever ministry is in front of him, he should complete it. For example, if he is teaching Bible study, like no Colossians he is teaching, he should complete Colossians. If he is counseling somebody else, he should counsel completely, not give up middle. That is the idea. Whatever ministry is in front of him, he has to complete. He has to fulfill. It is not like giving up middle. Church has responsibility to encourage Archippus. Do ministry. We are praying for you, Archippus. We are with you, Archippus. Don't give up. Please preach the word of Christ. Train yourself in the word of Christ and teach and preach. You should encourage men who are gifted in ministry of preaching and teaching. I hope Christ may raise gifted ministers from this congregation. Christ may raise gifted men from this congregation. I don't know who will become Spurgeon, who will become Martin Luther, who will become William Carey. We don't know, but we need more ministers. So I am not talking about only serving in this local church. If more ministers are there, we can send them to other place, plant another local church through this church. This church will become mother church to other church. Don't think that three ministers are sufficient. If God has given you that gift, anyone who has skill in preaching and teaching, you have to come. You have to train yourself. The church has to recognize, church has to send those kind of ministers to other places. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, when you are staying, you know, like cities, when there is no flowing of drainage, what happens? Can you smell or can you smell a good smell? Bad smell will come, right? So when there is a flowing in the water, the fresh air will come, right? When water is staying long time, like, no, it is not moving on, what happens, no? That is not worthy to see. That is not the place to stay, right? What happens? When church is not growing, when church is not moving on towards other places, what happens, no? The church is not attracted church. The church is not doing properly. So when somebody is coming and somebody is going to preach, it is like my call. If you have giftedness in you, you need to come forward so that we can serve the Lord more and more. So we have seen two things. The reason. Second thing, the goal. Lord gave it to complete it. The third essential quality of a disciple of Christ is loving the church of Christ. Respecting disciple of Christ not only respecting disciple of Christ, focusing on Christ's glory, the third essential quality is loving the church of Christ. It is connected to Paul directly. Verse 18, Paul says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Three ways that he shows his love for the church. The first way that he shows his love for the church is by protecting the church. By protecting the church. If you see his phrases, no, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. We need to understand context. History, we need to understand, brothers. Paul has assistants who write things he says. You know, he did not write all those epistles. Only he wrote Galatians. Remaining letters were written by somebody else, but Paul is telling. When Paul tells to assistant, he writes everything. Everything on the manuscript. Why he is not writing, brothers? Because he went through hardship. He is not able to write. His eyes are bad. His hands are not well. So better somebody write small letters. Save money as well. Those days manuscripts are very expensive. Right? So they need to write very clearly and shortly. So what we can see here, Paul is protecting the church by signing. He is signing. What he is saying, I wrote this greeting with my own hand. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 17, it says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Galatians 6:11, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. 1 Corinthians 16:21, the greetings is in my own hand, Paul. Philemon chapter 1 verse 16, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. Can you see that? He is writing with his own hand. Why he is writing? The reason is there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 2 says, that you do not be quickly shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by a spirit, or a message, or a letter, as if from us, to the effect the day of the Lord has come. What happens those days, forgery letters are coming from different people. What they are saying, no, Paul has sent this letter, but Paul did not write that letter. To disturb the church, no, these false teachers, they are writing letter and telling Paul wrote this letter. Maybe they are writing Paul, an apostle of Christ. They are writing Paul's name and they are saying that it is from Christ, Paul, but Paul is not writing. To protect the church, no, from false teachers, he has one idea. Greetings, he will write. So churches in Colossae, churches in Laodicea, church in Philippi, they know how Paul writes his greeting. So what Paul is doing here, he is writing, he is signing so that church may recognize this letter is from Paul. If that sign is not there, this is not from Paul, throw it down. Throw out. Don't read that epistle. Don't read that letter. It is not from Paul. Paul's handwriting is different. So they need to recognize. So what the idea is coming from here. Paul is signing so that he can protect the church. Can protect the church. And also he has concern for the church as well. Athanasius, who protected the church from attacking the deity of Christ. You know Arius? He said Jesus Christ is not God. Athanasius, he fought for it. Martin Luther protected the church from the heresy of works-based salvation. They are saying the work of Christ is not sufficient. You need to add your works to your salvation. Martin Luther stood for it. There are many men who work for the church. Paul is the best man who protected the church. Protected the church. So implication here, brothers and sisters, read only apostle writings and the inspired word of God. Don't entertain such a dreamers, visionaries, and false prophets in these days. You know, some people come, God spoke with me. We should focus only apostolic teaching. We should not focus on any teaching. We should focus the word of God, which is written through apostles, which is written to apostles. So he is protecting the church. Second way, he shows his love for the church by depending on the church. Verse 18. He says, remember my imprisonment. Remember meaning in this context is remembering in prayers. Paul commands them to pray. It is a command. Please pray for me. Whenever you are praying, please remember me. Remember my imprisonment. I am going through suffering. Please pray for me. You need to pray for me continually so that he can come out of that prison and preach the word of God. Plant more churches, preach and establish church, encourage the church. You need to pray for your ministers who are in trouble. Maybe they are facing sickness and other struggles. If they are not focusing on word of God, they cannot focus. If they are not well, if they are struggling with other things, they cannot focus on the word. They cannot focus on the preaching of the word. So this is your responsibility to pray for your ministers. Around 100 people to pray for Spurgeon preaching and his service. So somebody came from other place. What is the success of Spurgeon ministry? Then Spurgeon showed one room. More than 100 people are praying for service. The church that prays for the ministers, for the service, that church will grow spiritually and to proclaim the gospel to other place as well. If you are not praying for ministers, then what happens? No, we are not doing well. We are not doing well. The third way that he shows his love for the church, by encouraging the church. He says, grace be with you. The idea is grace is with them. Grace accompanies them. Paul is encouraging them with the fact that grace of Christ does not leave them, but always be with them. So whatever situation you are going through, Colossians, maybe you are facing false teaching, you have your sins. If you see, chapter 3, there are many sins of Colossians, right? You are struggling with sins. You are struggling with false teachers. But you are thinking, how can I go through it? But Paul is encouraging them, grace be with you. Christ never leaves. God never leaves you. So this is the way how Paul loves the church. This is the way Paul loves the church. The right way to encourage. Hoping that the Lord will protect until their death through his grace. He will protect them from false teachers and let them in holiness as citizens of heaven. So we have seen three essential qualities of Christ's disciples. Respecting other disciples of Christ, focusing on the glory of Christ, loving the church of Christ. What quality you are lacking in your life? If you are not loving the church, love the church. If you are not respecting other Christians in this church, you need to respect. Don't form a group. Don't have fellowship only with some people. You should greet, you should respect all men and women in this church. Love the church by praying for the congregation, praying for ministers. Pursue it by grace of God. This is the conclusion of this letter. Have essential qualities of Christ's disciples. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for giving great privilege to study your word. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your word, especially Paul's letter to Colossians. Lord, he came to know that Christ is supreme. He is sufficient for us, Lord. When we understand this truth, help us to have Christ's qualities. Help us, Lord, to love the church, to encourage weak men in the church. Lord, help us, Lord, to be faithful disciples of Christ. Lord, give us heart of respecting other Christians, Lord, in our church, other parts of India and other places as well. Lord, give us joy, Lord, to glorify your name as your disciples. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.